Brooks.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Excellent. Could not possibly be better.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I am completely exaggerating now because we're on location
for
the annual Christmas cheer breakfast, so I'm trying to appear both Christmassy and cheerful, which for me is a very tall order.
When I think of Bill Carroll, I think of Santa Claus and
Don't
good
you?
Thoughts and cheer.
That's exactly my point. Well, listen, Mr. Movie Guy, you're not exactly going to cheer us up with some of these movies. Let's start with a dark comedy about the end of the world, no less. It's called White Noise.
They're calling it the airborne toxic event.
We won't come this way.
Will we have to leave our home?
Of course not.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay, what if it's dangerous?
Evacuate all places of residence.
All we have to do is stay out of the way.
The children are here. They need us.
Of some persistent sense of large-scale ruin, we keep inventing hope.
Well, happy December, everybody. This is a movie kind of about an airborne toxic event that happens in a small town. It's the 1980s. You've got a blended family led by Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig. He's a college professor. She has some secrets that she's trying to keep from her husband. But on the surface, in the first of the movie's three parts, it really looks like they're a big, happy family. It's shot kind of like a sitcom. It almost looks like it came from 1980s television in a really interesting and kind of fun way. And then in the second part, there's a train accident. A black cloud, literally a black cloud, arises from one of the tankers that's overturned and creates this black toxic cloud that takes over their area. They have to evacuate. And as they evacuate, cracks start to show in their family dynamic. And then in the third part of the film, they try and resolve some of the loose threads that were left from the first and second part and then wrap it up with a kind of tidy bow. Except that while there is so much to like about White Noise, which is on Netflix, or it's in theaters right now, will be on Netflix in a few weeks, there is so much to like about it because Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig were born to recite this dialogue. They are getting laughs out of stuff that I'm sure if you read it on the page would not be amusing in the least, but in the way that they say it, the heart that they bring to their characters makes this funnier than it might have seemed if you had just read it. I think that the look of the film was quite beautiful, but these three sections to me felt like three short films that had the same cast and the same characters, but they were kind of not exactly unrelated, but they didn't hold together as a whole. And I really wanted that from this story. I think there's interesting stuff there, but for me, it just didn't work. As we got closer to the end credits, I found my attention drifting.
Now, Adam Driver is the actor who played, how do I describe him? Darth Vader just before he was Darth Vader?
Yeah.
So and, is that Anakin?
And look, he's a very good actor.
I've seen him in a couple of other things, because in Star Wars, you know, it's all about the epic surroundings. Yeah. You don't really necessarily get to see somebody's acting chops. But I've seen him a couple of times since. He's really good. Really
he's
compelling guy.
I saw him on Broadway do a show called Burn This.
Oh, yeah?
And so he is not in the first half an hour of the play or so. And then there's a knock at the door, and Adam Driver bursts into the room. And he has, I think, and if my memory is serving me correctly, a 20-minute-long monologue that just blew me back in my seat. It was so powerful. So funny, scary, sad, all at once. This guy has it. He's a great actor. This movie shows what a good actor he is, because I think there's not a lot of other actors I would have stuck with this entire story with.
And you know, a quick story maybe you can relate to, but we go to movies, we say, oh, he's a great actor, not a great actor, and a lot of it might depend on the character and how we're into it. Well, what do we know about acting, right? I went to see a play in Toronto years ago, and was pretty good. It was about a drug addict, and he was a real jerk, but everybody kind of really still loved him. And when the play was over, I thought, why did all of these people do things for him? He was just a jerk from start to finish. Right. The whole story didn't hang together, and I thought, what a terrible writer. Like, this play's awful. Flash forward, not even a month later, I was in London doing something else, and I happened to see the same play is in London, but John Malkovich plays the role.
Oh, yeah.
So I go in now, and I watch the same play, and I come out thinking, I get it now. I would have done anything for that guy. I know he was troubled, but you know, at his heart, he was really nice. There was some, and the difference was the acting.
Absolutely.
That, right? It's just how that, and every little subtle choice they make about to smile or not smile or the inflections in their words. I don't know how they do it, but you really see when two, and the other guy seemed fine. I just thought, I don't like him. I don't like the character, but it was the difference in acting.
Yeah, we saw, I mean, we're burning time here, but we saw Cabaret on Broadway with Alan Cumming, and it was an absolutely magical experience. Liked it so much. We saw it once. I came home, talked about how much I loved it so much that we flew back about 2 weeks later to go see it again. And then we took 6 or 8 months off and then went back and saw it again. And, you know, it was just transcendent theater, one of the best live performances I've ever seen. And then cut to, you know, a couple of years later, there was a touring production of it coming through Toronto. And this is not to denigrate anyone involved in that, but it just simply was not the same because that spark and that magic that came from that performance of Alan Cumming just simply wasn't there. And it was like watching a completely different show. And I would not have flown back to New York over and over again to see the production, the touring production. But you put the right people in the right places and you get magic.
Alan Cumming is a great Scottish actor, best known probably from The Good Wife, where he played like the spin doctor lawyer.
And the X-Men and lots of things.
And X-Men, yeah. Okay, The Inspection in theaters now.
Real question is, why do you want to be?
I want to be a Marine.
That's not good enough.
To be a good Marine means to know thyself and seek self-improvement.
If I die in this uniform, I'm a hero to somebody.
Boot camp is supposed to break you down.
Want to go home?
If we leave, they win.
Why is this weapon your best friend, recruit?
This is The Inspection. It's in theaters right now, and this is based on the true story of the director's life. The director's name is Elegance Bratton. He is a queer black man who was, at the time that the movie starts, he was homeless. He had been rejected by his mother, who in the film was played by the great Gabrielle Union, and he saw no future for himself. He did not know that he was going to wake up tomorrow safely because the shelter system was failing and things were not going well. So he joined the Marines, and he went through severe hazing. He was beaten and bullied and, you know, had a terrible rough go of it at boot camp, but found an inner strength and ended up being a Marine for 10 years. And now he is a successful film director with this new movie. In theaters. And the movie really holds up. This is not Full Metal Jacket or An Officer and a Gentleman, any other kind of military drama that you've seen before that involves boot camp. This is a very introspective story about what this very specific character went through. But like so many stories, when they are so very specific about a queer black man who joins the Marines in this case, the story becomes kind of universal. And it becomes about an underdog who is just trying to improve his life against all odds and making choices that will actually enable him to have a future. And I think it's a story that, as I say, even though very specific, a lot of people will be able to relate to. It's capped off by a tremendous performance by an actor I'd never seen before, a guy called Jeremy Pope in the lead role. And it's really a really very good movie that'll you know, give you something to think about over a coffee afterwards.
I was going to be cynical there. What is he, Spielberg? Who cares about his life, the director's life? And then you, gay, black, homeless. Okay, he's got a lot of things to talk about there.
Yeah, well, he'll be on my radio show next week, which I think is on at 8 o'clock on CFRA on Saturday nights. His name is Elegance Bratton, and I defy you to listen to this interview and not be just inspired.
Well, yeah, it's, like I said, I was ready to be sitting on that. There's a fascinating start to life.
Yeah.
And now he's directed a movie that Richard Krause is talking about on the radio. Bones and All, also in theaters.
I know it's not your fault. You were born this way.
You ate them. I believed you had to. I don't know why.
I smelt you. I didn't know I could do that. I thought I was the only one. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Famous last words.
Too much.
We gotta do this. We have to do it.
You've been following me.
We got unfinished business.
You don't think I'm a bad person.
So this is called Bones and All. It is in theaters right now. It stars Timothy Chalamet and Taylor Russell as a young couple. They get together. They go on a road trip, and it's a road trip of self-discovery. The thing about this movie is that they are both cannibals. And they have found one another through this thing that apparently, and I'd never heard this before in any of the fiction I've seen or read about cannibals, that they can smell one another, and that's how they find one another. And so this terribly dreamy kind of romantic film has these moments of well, feeding, which are not so pleasant, but this is not a horror film, really. There's not that much scary stuff that actually happens, but it's actually about using cannibalism as a metaphor for anyone who feels like an outsider, who feels like the other, who feels like they don't belong. And again, I guess that's what I was saying about the inspection, is that the more specific the story, the more universal it can possibly be. This one stretches that theory a little bit, but you've got a movie that has, you know, a great look to it. It's kind of languid. It takes a long time to get where it's going. So I think what I wrote here was, you know, come for the cannibals, but stay for the languid, passionate look at life on life's fringes.
It's quite a sales pitch. Come for the cannibals. I've never been a cannibal, so this concept of cannibals can smell each other may be true, but I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. You ever eat garlic and the person you live with doesn't? They can smell you. You got to sleep on the couch. Right. If you both eat the same thing, though, you both eat the garlic, you don't notice. Therefore, if you're both cannibals, you wouldn't smell each other at all. That's my theory.
Well, you know what? I'll buy into it as much as I'll buy into the theory that they can smell one another.
Yeah, so. And I hope never to prove that theory. Thank you, Richard. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Our movie guy, Richard Krause. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.